World Cup, and we went to church briefly. And then we drove to La Bramadora, which is a small town of about 3,000 people. And it was about six hours drive southeast of Quito. And we drove right through the Andes Mountains and on dirt roads and through banana trees and orange trees and all this stuff. And it was nighttime. And we got to Bramador and we stayed there for about 5 days, 4 or 5 days, and depending if you count nights and days and stuff like that. But then we drove back to Quito. It was the same drive, and we got to see the sun setting from the top of the Andes Mountains. We saw it setting below us with the clouds below us, and it was just incredible. We drove back to Quito. We stayed in Quito for 2 more days, where we visited places like the garbage dump, which was an incredible experience, and we visited an orphanage, which wasn't really an orphanage. It was a home for abandoned children, and it was called Precious Miracles, and those were both in Quito. And we visited them when we were there, and then we flew back, and that's what we did.
Okay, my question was, who did we meet while we were there? Once arriving in Quito, we were immediately greeted by our American intern missionaries. The interns were very genuine, hardworking, and always patient with our entire group. They were always right there beside us by working and encouraging us all. Since none of us could speak Spanish, we quickly had to find a translator. The interns only found him 3 hours before we left to Bramadora, and he willingly volunteered to help the team. His name was Aaron, and he had the heart of a servant. He also worked alongside us and sweat like you could not even imagine. He was a real blessing. The people of Bramadora were also indescribable. Each and every member of the church had a heart full of joy and peace with their circumstances. One man shared his 3 main priorities that he lived for, and they were God, family, and church. I can definitely say that his priorities changed many of the ways that we live now in Canada as a team. The people of Bramadora gave us a ridiculous amount of love, even though they knew nothing of us. The women showed incredible hospitality by cooking us meals, cleaning our rooms, and encouraging and praying for us. The men worked alongside us and showed us a real heart for working for the Lord. They enjoyed every moment of the hard work because they knew they were doing it for Jesus. Although they really had nothing material-wise, I'm definitely sure that we can all say that they demonstrated a true Christian attitude and gave everything they had to God.
So the question I had to answer was, what did we do there? Well, after we finally got there, after all our delays, we spent about an hour or two in Quito and went to a church service, again, watched Ecuador lose in FIFA, and we took off to Bramadora. And over the next 5 days, we built 2 extensions onto the church, or the foundations of the extensions, and dug what I like to call the pit. It's actually a septic tank that's about 6 feet wide and 5 meters deep, but it took the 5 days just to finish off that. After that, we left Bramadora and came back to Quito and went to the garbage dump. Or before we went to the garbage dump, we went and bought as much food as we could, or fruit, bananas, apples, oranges, and distributed it at the dump. And then we also went to, they called it an orphanage, but it wasn't. It was just a home for abandoned children called Precious Miracles, and we took the kids out to the park, and we played with them, and we sat with some of the ones that couldn't go and play and just talked to them, and we went and took them back home, and we fed them, and we just cared for them for a while. The next day, which was Sunday, we went out, and we went up to one of the mountains surrounding Quito, and I think at that point we were about 13,000 feet up, and so you could see all of Quito from where you were up in those mountains, and it was a magnificent view. After that, we went to the city church, Basilica, I believe, and it was amazing. We walked all along the outside of the church, and took us on a tour that most people don't get to go on, and we got to see how it was built and learn about some of the history of it. And after that, we visited the market again and looked around and bought a few things there. And then the next day, we got up bright and early and came back here to Canada.
My question was, what did I enjoy? There's a lot of things I enjoyed, but probably one would be Brimador. At the people there, the community, there is so much love. You didn't feel out of place when you went there. You felt like you were family. Like, I really like the scenery. There's a lot of banana trees. And the thing I probably liked most was the organization, the Precious Miracles. The little kids, there's six that were handicapped, and they were all so cute. Like, about three or four of them were really scared of us in the beginning, and they didn't want to talk to us. And we all went to the park, and we came back, and by the end, all the kids were screaming hot dog and paper, and it was it was only English they knew, but I taught them. Yeah, I think that's the thing I like the most, because the kids could be so sad over anything in their life, and like they didn't have anything, and yet they were so happy, and they always had smiles on their faces, and they really made you think, like, compared to your life now, you should be thankful for so much. And like these little kids, they were just happy to be around you. That's probably what I enjoyed the most.
I was here to talk about what we learned, and there was a lot that we learned there. Of course, we had to learn Spanish, and we had to learn how to communicate with the people there. But we also learned how to break down that language barrier, because that was one of the hardest things that we had there, was just going there, not being able to communicate with them and not being able to, you know, say exactly what we wanted to say. But we learned how to just disregard that and just communicate with them through our actions, through our love, and even just, like Joel said, playing soccer, you know. The language barrier was gone, and we learned just how to build that relationship with them, even though we couldn't exactly speak the same languages. And we also learned how to just trust God with everything, you know, just give it all up to Him. Because if we hadn't learned that, and if we hadn't actually taken that into action, we never would have been able to do all the things that we did there. I mean, if we hadn't asked God to help us and give us the strength, we probably wouldn't have been able to move, 40 buckets of dirt an hour, or, you know, mix that cement, and even be able to open up to the people there, you know, because, again, there was that language barrier, and there was just such a different culture there, and we just had to give it all up to God, and He gave us the strength and the courage to be able to go into that with an open heart and an open mind and build those relationships and be able to be touched and influenced by them.
All right, my question was, where did I see God and where can I start? Probably at the beginning, I would have to say the thing that really touched me at first was when we were on the plane flying up. It was the first time I flew, so these guys didn't seem as excited as me, but when I had a window seat, and just as we're taking off, just watching the ground beneath get so tiny, and some points it would you'd be so high up, and everything, you'd see the ground so clearly, and you'd see just rivers and the sun shining off the water, and some points you'd just be in clouds. There'd just be clouds everywhere, like that one picture you saw up there. It was just absolutely amazing to see how much detail God has put into this earth from. From so high up, it's just everything is so beautiful. And another place that I personally saw God was probably on the way to La Bramadora when we're driving through the Andes Mountains. Just the road, like a foot after the road, was just a sheer drop, and you'd look to the other side, it was straight up, and it was just kept going and going, and eventually you get to the top, and you just look down, and you're looking eye level with the sun, and at the beginning of those pictures, that wasn't fog, that was a cloud. We're above the clouds when we're driving there, that was just so amazing watching the sun there, and also just seeing the banana trees. I think that was crazy. it's totally awesome. But and then also the last place that just that stuck out for me was probably just how friendly the people of Bramador were there. That's really, I just saw God's work in their hearts there so much. They didn't even know us. And right when we got off the bus, they didn't even know us, and they were just shaking our hands and giving us hugs and giving kisses on the cheek, and it was so heartwarming. We just felt right at home. We felt like we knew them from so long ago. It just felt like we're a family there.
One of the things I noticed there, and we all noticed it too, was the sense of community that they have there in Bramador especially, and they would just... Some of us said that we couldn't tell for the longest time who was married to who because one guy didn't show his wife any more love than, like, anybody. And he just, they were all so friendly. And there was just a sense of family that they had there, and they welcomed us with open arms, and they didn't know who we are. So that was the biggest thing that I think we can all bring back here with us, for example, when we go to youth group. Now I'm not going to just go sit down, see somebody who I know, and then sit down and talk to them and glance up and see a new person, but still keep talking and be too shy. I'm going to go up to them and say, welcome here, hi, and just make them feel like they're part of this family too, because that's what they did to us in Bramador.
And I get the pleasure of talking about how our team did. I couldn't have been more proud to be a part of this team. It was an incredible mix of people, who spent a lot of time getting to know each other better that hadn't maybe before. From beginning to end, they were amazing. From the positive attitudes that they had during our challenges and delays of travel, throughout the whole thing, though there might have been some frustration, you would continually hear people saying, hey, it's part of the adventure, or look how God's teaching us to trust in him some more. It was amazing. When we got on site in Bramadora, every single one of them, whether they were digging trenches or carrying cement or painting, they had huge smiles on their faces. And this is like serious physical labor, and they were grinning from ear to ear. And it didn't stop after the first day, all week long. And to quote one member on the team, it didn't matter what they were doing, whether it was heavy duty work or somewhat boring work, the comment was, it's all for God, and that's all that matters. And throughout the day, you'd hear every single one of them at some point checking in with another person on the team saying, do you need your water bottle filled up? Are you drinking enough water? Do you need a break? I can spell you off. It was just inspiring to see how much they cared for each other. And then when we had debriefs every night, again, they shared openly with each other. They challenged each other to grow, and that was a really neat thing to be able to watch. Even when we got back and our luggage was missing, the attitudes didn't go anywhere. They were still as positive as anything. The comments I heard were, it's just stuff. We have our memories, and that's what matters most. So that was inspiring to me, too, to see that they had kept that positive attitude right till the end. And even this week, I got an email from the interns who were telling me about how much they enjoyed working with this team and how impressed they were by the spiritual maturity of this group and how hard they worked, that they would be happy to have them back any time. And again, it just made me so proud to have been able to work with these fine, fine people.
I'm good. I got a mic, I think. We just wanted to thank you guys as a team just for your prayers and support, for all the fundraising support you gave us, for all the prayer support that we definitely felt. We knew that there was a few thousand hits on our website, which means people were actually paying attention to the website, which is always great. And we're just really, wow, that's good. You're good like that. Thank you. Appreciate that. We just wanted to really thank you on behalf of all of us for all of the support you gave us as we went down. I just want to clarify, do I have slides? Money. You guys did a great job. Thank you so much. I think I've been told by a little nod from my lovely wife who put together the PowerPoint presentation, and it wasn't her fault. It worked beautifully last night. That's just the way it happens. At the end of the service, we'll be able to show the rest of the PowerPoint presentation if you want to stick around. I know you guys got stuff to do, but if you want to stick around for a few more minutes, watch the end of it. You'd be more than welcome to. We'll cancel the last song. We'll just have the PowerPoint go. But I wanted to share with you a little bit about some of the things that I learned when I was down in Ecuador. See, when I went down, I've been on a few mission trips before. When you go down after a few trips, you kind of know what to expect. You know that the people down there are going to impact you likely more than you are going to impact them, just the way it works. But actually, this trip had a huge effect on me because it impacted the way I look at this church. It impacted the way I look at my ministry. It impacted the way I look at the youth ministry that we have before us. The cool thing about the Alliance Church in Labramadora is they are in a very similar position to us. Let me give you a few similarities. First off is, well, there's only one road in Labramadora, and they're on it. They are on a main strip in prime real estate, and everyone walks by. The kids going to and from school walk by. You saw the pictures on the PowerPoint. People, animals, tractors, trucks, everything drives right by that church. They were in a very similar position that we are here on Wonderland. The other cool thing was the building project that they are involved with. They are involved in a building project. Now, I'll tell you, they don't necessarily have a building committee or a whole lot of like fundraising going on. They just build when the money comes in, and that's where our money went to. We were able to provide money for them to start building a foundation for them to build a community center. Sound familiar? They are building a community center to reach to all these kids that keep walking by their church because so many of them are having issues with drugs, getting caught up in bad relationships, and they desperately need God. It reminded me directly of how I'm looking at where we're going as a church. As we look at influencing the community around us, and from my angle, the youth, how passionate are we? How on board are we? We want to be on the same on board mindset that this church is. Whether you were 80 years old, which some of them were, all the way down to little kids, they were all jumping in, they were all passing rocks, they were all part of the overall vision. And I'm excited to see where this church is going to go to get on that same page, so that we're all going to jump in on a vision to impact the community around us. The other cool thing which I liked is they just hired a youth pastor. This youth pastor was hired by one of the teams that went down there just before us last year. And before the building project started, they saw a need in the community, and they hired a youth pastor to meet some of the needs. And his salary was paid for by the group. It cost $3,000 to have him there for a year. I was shocked, but I was encouraged to see what an opportunity some of our money can go to in order to encourage them. So we provided some of the supplies for their building project. We provided some extra money for them to help with some of the other stuff that's around there. But here's the other thing which I loved, is that these people loved God hard. These people laughed hard. These people played hard. These people cried hard. And because of that, what I wanted to do this morning is I wanted to introduce you to two of the people who down in Bramadora absolutely floored me. And there were a bunch of them, but I picked two from Labramadora because we were there for 5 days doing our building project with them. The first one was my main man, Chavo. Chavo's my main man. Chavo was the guy who, when we first got there after traveling for way too long in these Andes that were like all over the place, and you got out of the bus and you're like, okay, where am I? We've been traveling on a road that was not designed to be traveled on for the last 45 minutes. It was just dirt, potholes all the way through. And then suddenly you came into this paved road, and there was Labramadora. And we pulled into the parking lot, and the whole church is there to greet us. And my main man, Chavo, is right there. Chavo was the guy that you know who was like the most outgoing, funniest daredevil guy you ever met. He's crazy. You saw the pole that we had over the pit? And it was like a pit, like 5 meters deep. Chavo was like walking across it just to make us laugh. When we were tired, he's like, hey, let me entertain you. But Chavo had an incredible, incredible sense of love around him. The first night when we got there and we didn't know anybody's names, Chavo was the one who got everyone in a circle and started getting them to play the name game. The name game. He would ask them, he would ask questions, he would ask who people were, what they did, what did they like, what did they not like. When Danny was looking for an opportunity to ride a donkey because there were donkeys all over the place, Chavo was my man. When Julia wanted to catch a chicken, Chavo. But Chavo showed me an incredible sense of loving God with everything he had. And as we see in Matthew 22, loving him with his whole heart, his soul, and his mind, and as a commandment, also following it up as loving his neighbor as himself. I experienced that myself. If you were checking on the website, you probably heard that some little critter bit me. Well, bit me twice, got both ankles. And I got a little spider bite, and it just wasn't the best feeling in the world. And so I was laid up with a fever, and on Thursday afternoon, and Chavo comes up into my room, concerned. And I'm kind of out of it, because I got a little sweat going on. I'm like, what's going on? And suddenly this man, who I barely know, 2 days, is hugging me, is praying for me, is massaging my arm, because he thinks there's a fever, which there was. And he's caring for me so much that he took off running down the street to get me medications. He took off and made me an appointment with the doctor down the road. He then huddled other people around from his church and prayed. Chavo showed me that he cared for me more than just someone who was carrying cement for him as a church and they were building this project, but he cared for me as a brother in Christ. He challenged me because I looked at the love that he showed me, and to be honest with you, unless it's my main responsibility, I likely would look for someone else to love someone that way. Unless it's someone under my direct care, when I wasn't under Chavo's care. Unless it's someone who was like one of my youth, someone who I know, someone who I care about. I would do that. I would pray over them. I would care for them. But a stranger? It challenged me with the way I look at my neighbors. It challenged me with the way I look at my friends who aren't maybe as close of friends as they could be. It challenged me with the way I look at people I hang out with maybe when I'm at a beach or when I'm on a camping trip. And instead of being frustrated and angry about the garbage they're leaving or the noise they're making, how much love do I show? Not because I want to like prove to them that I'm a better person or prove to them that, you know, but because I'm commanded to by God. That God commands me to love my brothers, my sisters unconditionally. That is one of the things that absolutely shocked me with the people down there, is it didn't matter how popular, didn't matter how talented, didn't matter what physically you were able to do or not do. These people loved everyone as brothers and sisters in Christ. And it changed the way we looked at them. It changed the way we looked at the opportunities we had before us. It changed the way we looked at the work that we had. And because of that, my main man Chavo was someone I wanted you to meet. My second person I wanted you guys to meet was someone who absolutely floored me. Because there's very few things that disgust me. I can handle blood. I can handle, you know, a little bit of puke. I used to be a camp counselor. I can take care of those things. You know, there's things that I will do. But there's certain things that I will do because I'm comfortable with. If this is something I'm not too comfortable with and I've never done before, again, I'm usually allowing other people to step forward. I'll hold a baby when they're not crying. That kid's crying. Where's the mom? I'm in a position where I am just drenched in sweat, and it's only like 8:30 in the morning. We haven't even started working yet. I just came downstairs. And I am looking all over the place for our socks from the day before. Because, like, you know, this is kind of disgusting. Your feet are just like, you can wring them out. And so you leave them out on the porch. But they're gone. Gone. Consuela. Without telling us, she snuck our socks away. And she, let's remember where we are here. We're in Bramadora. There's no washer. She's by hand cleaning our socks that are absolutely revolting. Like, there's dirty socks. But once you've been in the pit for a little while, those socks are no longer white. It's disgusting. You can even still see when there was all these like wet patches where the sweat had just sunk into the wood and there was no socks, but just wet patches from the night before. Consuela showed me something. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart as working for the Lord, not for men. When I asked later on, why would you think of touching those socks? Are you nuts? She said, I was just looking for an opportunity to serve. I saw the opportunity. Think about that for a second. How many times do we look at opportunities like sweaty socks and go, someone else got that? The other day, this church went out and picked up garbage and cleaned off graffiti. I'll tell you, my neighborhood looks perfect. Fantastic. But how often would you have done that without a program being orchestrated from here at the church? When you see your neighbor's garbage can that's been blown in the wind and it's just like down the road, or maybe a raccoon has gotten in it the night before, do you look at that as an opportunity to serve, or do you look at that as an opportunity to drive to work? I honestly usually drive to work or walk, depending how I feel. But I'll usually try and bypass the need or the dirty stuff in order to make myself more comfortable. When I started looking at my actions compared to Consuela's, and I started realizing there's no way I would have touched their smelly, sweaty socks, I started realizing she was doing something that I wasn't. She was living every moment. She was looking at every opportunity. She was looking at every task in front of her, whether it be socks, whether it be moving dirt, whether it be making food, whether it be helping your kids with homework, whether it be giving love to a neighbor. She was doing it not for her own gratification, but to bring honor and glory to God. See, there are several people that impacted us because of the way they treated us differently. They treated us in a way that was foreign to us. And I think that's sad, that we had programmed our minds to look at someone who loves, like Chavo, and serves and works like Consuela, as something that's foreign and shocking to us. I would love us to be a church that shocks our community. I would love us to be a church that, yes, is all about missions, but is all about the mission field that we see in front of us every day. Because we're not all going to have the opportunity, even though we want to travel every week to go somewhere to serve. You're in a position every day that we become foreign to. We forget that God has placed us in our mission field every day at work, every day in our schools, every day in our churches, every day in our communities. To live the lives, show the love, like Chavo, and do the work that we share in, like Consuela. But we forget way too often. Let's be a church that does not allow us to get off easy. Let's be a church that becomes really uncomfortable, because we are far too comfortable. Let's become the type of people that challenge each other to take ourselves out of our comfort zone. So we come here, we are celebrating about how people out there are coming into contact with us and are shocked that we would have picked up their sweaty socks. They are shocked by the love and the care that we provide for them, because we do everything we have. We do everything, we give everything we have to bring glory and honor to God. That is an exciting thing to be part of. We are all excited. We are all overjoyed to be able to share that with you guys. But we are overjoyed to share that with you now that we're back here in London, to move forward with our lives, to move forward with this community, and do it to bring honor and glory to God. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for the challenge and the example that you give us when you bring us face to face with people who maybe don't have as much, maybe are not as fortunate as us, Lord, but whose lives are a complete challenge. They are an eye-opening opportunity for us to see, or maybe we've become lazy. Maybe we've started taking shortcuts. And Lord, I thank you for the people that you brought our team to, Lord, how you brought us to an incredible church that's doing great works for you. Lord, how you allow us the challenge of physical work, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Lord, we thank you for how you met those needs, how you sustained us, how you gave us strength when we needed it, how you gave us joy when it was hard to find. Lord, we thank you for this church, and we thank you for the vision that you're giving us to move forward beyond our walls, and Lord, with that, to become a little bit uncomfortable in life, because we want to serve you. Lord, I thank you for everyone here. And I pray, Lord, that you will just really and truly be blessed with everything we have, everything we are going to do. Lord, be our vision. We thank you and we love you. In your Son's holy and precious name, amen.